Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Thank you for joining us for this half hour. Now, let's talk.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. I'm Tracy Morgan. So nice to have you in today. It's just after 11 o'clock, as we always do. We kind of take this time right here and step away from the music for a bit and sit and chat. Today is our day with Concordia. Concordia Lutheran Ministries, the Concordia Visiting Nurses. But before we get to Dino Capistrani, of course, the marketing director, let me remind you, you do have two different ways to join us online if you would like. If you're listening to us on the radio, fabulous. If you have your mobile app for your mobile device, great. That is free for you. But you can also go to WISR680.com or InsideButlerCounty.com. So welcome, welcome, welcome. And to you, Dino Capistrani, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing very well. What a gorgeous day it is, and it's good to be here with you.
Some sunshine.
And consecutive days of sunshine, which is really nice.
That's the key.
Exactly.
Well, okay, so let's talk weather. Let's talk activities first, and then we're going to get into the main course, if you will, of what we're going to talk about today. Quickly mention a couple of the events that are happening, because one, Concordia Haven Apartments, they are holding their open house and Trinity Music Group concert, and that's going to be, just as a reminder for anybody who wants to go, Sunday, June 12th, and that's going to be from 1 to 4 p.m. You'll have an opportunity to tour the building and model apartments. You're going to learn about what to look for in a retirement community. The event will also feature an ice cream social, so who doesn't love that, right? You can get the information on concordialm.org/events or news. Just keep in mind, this is, again, Sunday, June 12th from 1 to 4 p.m. After the open house at 6 p.m., the Trinity Music Group will perform, and they're going to perform for free at the Haven 2 Patio as a part of the Haven's Patio Concert. And guests are encouraged to bring a chair. Seating is extremely limited for a patio concert, so just keep that in mind. If you want more information, you can always give Peggy a call. She is the admissions counselor, 724-352-5378. And if you wanted a tour of Concordia and you're not able to attend this event, you can always schedule a personal tour. Again, Peggy is the person to call. 724-352-5378 would be the place to go, or the phone call to make. Again, Concordia Haven Apartments, the June 2016 open house and Trinity Music Group concert, the open house and concert on Sunday, June 12th. You can always find out more events that are happening on the website at concordialm.org. Of course, there's the groundbreaking celebration at High Point at Rebecca on June 18th. And, of course, in July, more coming your way with Concordia Haven Apartments, the open house again in River City Brass Concert. But just keep in mind, for this month, the Concordia Haven Apartments open house on June 12th, here in just a couple of days.
And the weather's supposed to be good, too.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. When the weather is good, it's always a nice time to go visit Concordia. Now, when we're talking about events, not necessarily open houses, but people used to come to these events in years past on trains.
That's exactly right. Well, what happened was our supporting congregations throughout our 134 years of business used to bring their families and come up and take the train and picnic up in Cabot and have the festival. And so for those consecutive years, this tradition continues at Concordia. And of course, it's a lot different than it was back then. But now we are able to go ahead and utilize our fantastic dietitians making some great meals, a lot of events. We've got a stocked pond behind the lung care facility. So if you're not doing anything, listeners out there, this Sunday on 134 Marwood Road.
All right. So we're going to touch on that, folks, again before we leave. But that is this weekend Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can enjoy that. So, all right. So, Dino, you came here to talk about more of a serious issue,
yeah,
if you will,
mm-hmm,
and about being discharged from the hospital.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know what? Nowadays here, people have episodes in the hospitals, and particularly seniors. And when they go in the hospital, when they're discharged, and it usually is a lot quicker than it was in past years, you know, these people who are discharged are really still fragile and needs special attention. As many as 20% of these people, Tracy, go back into the hospital within a month. And so we're here today to talk about some things that can be done that can help reduce that rehospitalization and some suggestions if you aren't in need of home health care.
And maybe I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but isn't there an effort going on now where hospitals are getting fined if they go back, patients go back like within a month or something along those lines?
You're actually spot on. About a couple years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, the hospitals are being penalized by Medicare, 1% of their annual revenue if they're not really keeping rehospitalizations at a minimal level. And so consequently, they look at post-acute care providers like us at Concordia Visiting Nurses to do many things to help people to go ahead and heal better at home through education. But if you're not homebound, if you do not meet the requirements for home health care, there are still ways that you yourself can help by not going back into the hospital, particularly in the next month following your hospital stay.
And they will treat you. I always want to say that when I bring that topic up. The hospitals will treat you.
Absolutely.
It's just they're looking, like you said, for alternatives, and that's what
they're doing. And they really are relying upon us, again, as post-acute care providers, to be able to help them and to partner with them to help these reductions of rehospitalizations. And they're actually looking upon the populace, if you will, to be able to take on more education and understanding of their disease or their ailment or whatever got them into the hospital.
All right, so Dina, let's go with the hospital stay. How do we rebound from a hospital stay?
Well, first you need to start connecting with your relative doctor before leaving the hospital. A lot of times, you're in the hospital here and potentially your primary care physician is not there making rounds. So if you have a perceived or an understood schedule for a surgery or whatever, it's not a bad idea to go ahead and talk to your doctor before and before you're discharged from the hospital. And if it does require this here, ask your doctor if they can provide you with an order for home health care, because this would be able to ensure that you would have acute care, meaning skilled nursing and therapy, when you go home from the discharge of the hospital.
Answer me this question, mm-hmm. because to me this is new. Maybe the whole terminology is new, mm-hmm. or maybe it's just sinking in when we hear it, but hospitalist.
Yeah.
I've heard that in the past couple of years, and I'm like, okay, explain that.
Well, you know, basically what it is, it's been a partnership, if you will, with the medical community, the doctors, and if you will, the hospitals, where the hospitals themselves have employed physicians, and they label them as hospitalists. And so what it has done is been able to reduce the amount of rounding that a primary care physician has to do. And, you know, their jobs are very full. They're very busy. But when they had to round, meaning going to the hospital for all their patients, they would be out of the house or out of their life, if you will, doing office visits, plus visiting at nighttime or all their patients, and rounding during the weekend. So the new trend, if you will, it's not really a trend, it's actually kind of rooted, is that hospitals employ a physician who's on their payroll who is the hospitalist. And so if you are admitted into the hospital, typically the hospitalist will come and make a visit, more or less like the rounds of your primary care physician, but without the historical aspect that your primary care physician has about your ailment or your health.
So he's basically, he or she, I should say, he or she is basically my doctor while I'm in the hospital.
Exactly.
And will work with my PCP, I assume.
The intent, we recommend that, you know, you get involved with your hospitalist and ask the hospitalist to contact and update your primary care physician if particularly home health care is needed. Because a lot of times, well, in all cases here, you can't just simply call us up and say, you know, I'd like to have a nurse come and see me today. You need to have an order from a physician. So if your hospitalist who comes to visit you can contact your primary care physician and they both deem that you are homebound after you're discharged from the hospital, you can have Concordia Visiting Nurses come to your home. A nurse will come and do a start of care, and then at that point there, they can go ahead and schedule all the clinicians to be able to take the needs that you have following a hospital stay.
Dino Capistrani with us, of course, the marketing director for Concordia Visiting Nurses, and of course represents Concordia itself in the many locations. Right here in Butler County, of course, we have the Cabot location. And, Dino, when we're talking about being discharged from the hospital and the hospitalists and the PCPs, I mean, what if a doctor feels that the patient is not homebound and doesn't qualify for home health care? Then what do you do?
Yeah, that's an excellent point there. And, you know, and I think that really does share the requirements of Medicare, Medicaid, or insurance providers like Highmark and UPMC and a variety of others, is that in order for you to receive home health care, being a skilled nurse or a therapist to come to your home and take care of you, you have to be homebound. And so there is certain criteria. You can go to worship service and you can do certain other things, but you can't go shopping, you can't go to the workout, you know, room, the gym, and a variety of other things. So if by chance you are not homebound, there are things that you can do that can help reduce, you know, that potential of rehospitalization after a discharge. And first of all, one of the things you need to do right off the bat is to contact your family doctor if you are the person, or if you're a family caregiver, contact your family's doctor and explain that your loved one has been hospitalized, and so you'd like to schedule an appointment within the next week so that they can be a follow-up, a checkup to see how things are doing, and potentially being able to go ahead and give you some advice while you're at home so that you don't become sick or rebound and go back to the hospital.
Anything else that you would advise if we're kind of in that position?
Well, one of the things you need to do is when you talk to this doctor, you need to describe the diagnosis and any new medications that you need to talk about. A lot of times when older adults are admitted into the hospital for a new ailment, they'll potentially get some new medications, and they may already be on some other medications for any type of other ailment or a chronic disease. So if there are new meds, you need to want to talk to your doctor about these, because there may be some interactions, and a lot of times medication mismanagement creates other symptoms and other complications. So at least having that chance to talk to your doctor is very important. And also, too, if you call your primary care physician, Tracy, if you're not given a date within a week of discharge, you know, it's okay to ask for the supervisor of the doctor's office. You know, we're asking you to be a little assertive if necessary. Leave a voicemail or email message directly for the doctor. And if your appeal to the staff did not yield a timely appointment, just be a little bit more assertive. And typically speaking, your doctor's office will recognize this is a serious matter, and they'll try to fit you in. May not be a perfect hour for you, but they'll try to get you into the schedule so that your loved one can be seen.
And that can kind of be stressful. I mean, the whole process is stressful, especially when you don't know the answers. Where do you go? Who do you ask?
Exactly.
So when you're telling us to call the doctor's office, maybe we should call the hospital at times. What should we ask the hospital?
You can go ahead and do that, but you know what? Your primary care physician knows more about your historical record and those understanding is of how you've been, provided that you've been getting your regular checkups, or if you've had ailments that your doctor has seen, they know a little bit more. The key is not to go back to the hospital. So if you're able to go ahead and make that appointment with the physician, you could even start going ahead and calling while your loved one is still in the hospital and say, I'd like to make an appointment for mom or dad, aunt and uncle, or an elderly neighbor next week, just as a follow-up to see how things are going. This will reduce any rehospitalizations or failures to go ahead and continue to heal as much as you should.
So when do we call the hospital? Like, what should we ask for in the way of paperwork?
Well, one of the things you need to do while you're in the hospital is get copies of hospital records, like any kind of lab results, any type of x-rays. And then also, too, it's not a bad idea to also ask for the discharge summary that you can bring to your doctor's appointment, because there's a lot of things that go on in the hospital that if you don't ask, you don't get them. And of course, it's not information that you're not permitted to have. A lot of times older adults, I know when my parents were still with us, they would not ask the hospital these type of questions because they know best. But you know, it is your right in today's health reform, the hospital is really expecting you to be a part of your own care. So if a loved one asks for the lab results, any x-rays or discharge summary notes to bring to their primary care physician, they recognize that you are partnering with the health providers to take care of your loved one's health. And so it's a good thing to go ahead and do.
Anything else before we get to this appointment? Because it sounds like there's a lot of planning involved in this.
Well, there is, and there's a lot of thought involved in this here. And one thing to truly keep in mind here, particularly after you've asked for these lab results or these x-rays or even copies of anything that you receive in the hospital, is to make sure that your loved one has transportation to the doctor's office. A lot of times, many of the loved ones, the family caregivers, are kids or nieces, nephews, and they work. And so make sure that there is transportation to get them to the doctor's office and back home, because it's vital that they see the physician. And of course, nowadays, you can call a taxi, you can contact our county through the Area Agency on Aging, seeing if there is any type of transportation available. And of course, with Uber service, you can go ahead and get a variety of ways to get someone to the hospital and back, or not to the hospital, to the doctor's appointment, so that that appointment can be made and your doctor can see how well you're progressing.
So in your planning stages, what is it that we would need to kind of gather together in our brains? Because when you're at the doctor's appointment, you know they're going to ask you questions. So.
It's a great question that you're asking here, Tracy. And one of the things that you need to do is you need to really kind of talk to your doctor about what led you to go to the hospital. Did you have a sharp pain? Did you find out that there was something wrong, something different? You know, review those symptoms and events that occurred before the crisis, and perhaps it's even time to see a specialist for that. But the key is talk about what happened before the hospital visit. Also, too, you want to understand what happened in the hospital. Review any tests, as we talked about earlier, any x-rays or consultations, so that the doctor can really decide what is the next step for you in order for you to heal and get back to life. And the last thing, Tracy, is any kind of medication changes. We talked about this earlier, but you have to compare the hospital's discharge list with the doctor's running list of medications you already have. And again, a lot of times older folks will have medication mismanagement, as we talked about earlier, which will create maybe a lightheadedness, a dizziness, an indigestion, or other complications that could really create other problems or give you a false sense that this is a result of the surgery that you had, but in reality it is a result of medication mismanagement.
So talk about red flags. I know a lot of people will go into the hospital and, you know, they not have a problem at all. And then there are a few cases where some folks may, you know, think differently. So talk about the red flags.
You know, there can be red flags that come up, and they do occur here. And, you know, one of the things that you need to do on behalf of your loved one is to make sure that you understand meaningful changes of any symptoms. You need to really kind of be aware of your body, or if you're a son or a daughter, niece and nephew, or anybody taking care of somebody, is to find out what doesn't seem to be right. Is there a redness around the wound? Is there any fluids that are discharging? Is there any pain that is occurring in here? And what these are potentially red flags in the making. And so you need to be able to go ahead and find out exactly what that is. And also to make a plan for what to do if these red flags occur, especially outside of the normal office hours. If you have a flare-up that occurs at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, what do? Is the local MedExpress open? Is there an urgent care center? Do you need to go back to the emergency room? Just thinking about these things, Tracy, will help people to go ahead and stay healthy at home, heal, and get back to life.
So when we are planning, should we plan with someone else? Should we make these plans ourselves? What's easiest?
I think yes, yes, and yes. As a matter of fact, it's important for you to be able to do so. Now, your loved one may not have the capabilities to go ahead and think these things through. So you may, as a family caregiver, may have to help them out. So thinking ahead, you can go ahead and really help your loved one out. And if some of these things that we are talking about need to be referred to later, you can always go to our Elder Pages Pittsburgh website. As a matter of fact, this particular show here, Tracy, is one of this month's e-newsletters. So this entire show can be documented. You can print it out if you have a loved one who is having a scheduled surgery, or if you simply want to just keep it in your records to be able to know what to do if mom or dad, aunt and uncle, or anybody is going into the hospital.
Talk about Elder Pages in general, if you will, in case we haven't yet hopped on there.
Yeah, Elder Pages is a Concordia Visiting Nurses educational website. And again, it's all part of this process of working with your medical professionals, your hospital, your doctor, your pharmacist, and you to learn more about certain things. And this website is designed to be able to talk about common conditions like diabetes, CHF, which is congestive heart failure, or COPD, which is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Typically, those are the repeat offenders that get you into the hospital often. But there's other information about a changing role for you as a family caregiver. You know, we love our moms and dads, but when mom or dad have an episode or in the hospital or have some kind of setback, we are now a family caregiver. And what do you do in that? And how do you do these type of things? So this website is designed to be able to help family caregivers understand their responsibility to help out a loved one. And it's free. You don't have to sign up unless you'd like to get the e-newsletter. But most of this information is just available for you. That website again, Tracy, www.elderpages.com/Pittsburgh. Or go to any search engine and just type in Elder Pages Pittsburgh, and you'll find our website and all this information.
And folks, if you're listening and you hear the word Pittsburgh in there, it doesn't mean that it's not indicating that it's not local information. We have Cabot, but Concordia has how many locations now?
Well, you know, that's an excellent point here. Concordia Lutheran Ministries has a variety of locations in and around the Pittsburgh area, but Concordia Visiting Nurses covers a very large geographic region. As a matter of fact, 5 counties surrounding Allegheny County. So when we were looking at the domain name for this website, we wanted to include that entire region so that folks who are either in Newcastle or in Greensburg or even as far south as Washington, PA, can recognize this educational website as being the Pittsburgh region. So you're correct in that sense. It is Concordia Visiting Nurses educational website.
Because Concordia recently went over to Ohio a little bit too, so that's been underway for
exactly.
a while now.
It certainly has. Yeah. Matter of fact, we're coming on 2 years for that, and that facility is now full and doing very well. So we're very blessed by our managers, our leaders, and of course our senior leaders for having the vision to be able to go ahead and take more of God's people.
Absolutely.
In their care.
Dino Capistrani with us, of course, Concordia Visiting Nurses and Concordia itself. We only have about 5 minutes with you left, Dino. So what I want to do is get your final thoughts on this topic that we've been talking about being discharged from the hospital. And then, before you go, talk about that event that's happening this weekend.
Certainly, Tracy, we can do that. You know, one of the things that people who are listening right now need to remember, if you or your loved one are in the hospital and feel that there can be a chance your condition could send you back into the hospital again, ask your physician or your hospitalist for a home health care order. And if that's the case, we ask you to choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. And within 24 hours of that order, a start of care nurse will come to your house, do an evaluation, have all the records from the discharge of the hospital, and be in contact with your physician to begin care at home. A lot of things that happen behind the scenes, Tracy, is that we will check your insurances or check with Medicare to find out how many visits a nurse can go ahead and make with you. All of this is done before we come to your house. And if you're concerned, are these people right? Do I feel safe having them in my house? All of our clinicians are vetted. Criminal background checks are done. Competency tests are done on whether they are truly competent to be a nurse or a therapist. And then, of course, we make sure that their license is up to date through the state, whether they're a registered nurse or an LPN or a physical therapist. And when they come to your house, then that care is a continuation from the hospital to your home. And that's why we're called post-acute care as a provider of home health care services.
How do we get a hold of you?
Well, you can certainly contact us locally here, which is 724-352-6200. But if you are in the hospital or are facing a surgery and you feel in your conversation with either the hospitalist or your physician that you may need to have skilled care at home, talk to your doctor or the hospitalist and ask for Concordia visiting nurses to take care of you at home. And we will send a start of care nurse out there and we will work with you to get back to life.
And before we go, let's just review really quickly the open house that we are talking about at the beginning of the program that's happening this weekend on June 12th. Concordia Haven Apartments, they are holding their open house and Trinity Music Group concert. And that's going to be, just as a reminder for anybody who wants to go, Sunday, June 12th. And that's going to be from 1 to 4 p.m. You'll have an opportunity to tour the building and apartments. You're going to learn about what to look for in a retirement community. The event will also feature an ice cream social, so who doesn't love that, right? You can get the information on concordialm.org/events or news. Just keep in mind, this is, again, Sunday, June 12th from 1 to 4 p.m. After the open house at 6 p.m., the Trinity Music Group will perform, and they're going to perform for free at the Haven 2 Patio as a part of the Haven's Patio Concert. And guests are encouraged to bring a chair. Seating is extremely limited for patio concerts, so just keep that in mind. If you want more information, you can always give Peggy a call. She is the admissions counselor, 724-352-5378. And if you wanted a tour of Concordia and you're not able to attend this event, you can always schedule a personal tour. Again, Peggy is the person to call. 724-352-5378 would be the place to go or the phone call to make. Again, Concordia Haven Apartments, the June 2016 open house and Trinity Music Group concert, the open house and concert on Sunday, June 12th. You can always find out more events that are happening on the website at concordialm.org. Of course, there's the groundbreaking celebration at High Point at Rebecca on June 18th. And, of course, in July, more coming your way with Concordia Haven Apartments, the open house again in River City Brass Concert. But just keep in mind, for this month, the Concordia Haven Apartments open house on June 12th, here in just a couple of days.
We call it worry-free living at Concordia because, you know, in several months, maybe a half a year from now, snow, ice, and these residents don't have anything to worry about. It's all taken care of for them.
I'm one of those people right there, whether it's retirement. Obviously, I'm not there yet, but, you know, anything. I'm always at the event and want to peek in. That's me, you know, to make an appointment, which you can with Concordia on the side and then go in with an individual. That's great.
And you know what, Tracy? A lot of people do that there. For instance, if you have aging parents who have been maybe inkling that they may want to go to a downsized apartment and may want to go ahead and have the full continuum of care as they age and maybe regress in their health, this is a great way for you to scope it out, to make sure that you check it out and see if mom and dad would be interested. And if you've done that due diligence, like you said you'd like to do, then you could be more informed to go back and talk to mom and dad and say, you know, I saw one of the apartments and they're really nice. The place is great. Why don't we make an appointment? But you're right, that opportunity is available this Sunday.
Well, Dino Capistrani, thanks so much for coming in.
Tracy, thank you for having me.
Of course, Concordia and Concordia Visiting Nurses. All right, so our time is up, but you can always catch us online, whether you catch us tomorrow or the next time Dino and I are together here at WISR 680 AM or InsideButlerCounty.com. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Tracy Morgan with Let's Talk.
Thank you so much for joining us for Let's Talk. The information and opinions that were shared on this program are solely those of our guests and do not necessarily represent those of WISR Radio, the Butler Media Group, or its staff or employees. You can catch this segment online at www.insidebutlercounty.com. Thanks again for joining us for Let's Talk.
I know I'm 40 and I could stand to lose a few pounds, but hey, skinny jeans are in right now.
Bad idea.
Yeah, sure, I'll go on a run with you. Just give me 5 seconds here to chow down this bowl of chicken Alfredo.
Bad idea.
Yeah, I better get that burrito before that 4-hour flight.
Bad idea.
Being honest, yes, those pants do make you look fat.
Bad idea.
I signed up for the InsideButlerCounty.com news sheet. It gives me all my details that I need about what's going on in Butler and around the country.
Good idea.
That's the InsideButlerCounty.com news sheet, available online or via email. Pick it up because it's a
good idea.
Our phone number is 724-283-2525, 724-283-2525. It's family time here on WISR.